Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we love having Ron Jaworski on the show. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. Good morning, Joss.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great to be with you guys. Everything good?
Well, I don't know.
Medium, sort of.
Some good, yeah, some, yeah.
Wins aren't even good enough anymore.
No.
Well, listen, Joss, Cleveland, 4 points, you know, coach kind of strutting around afterwards. I mean, here's the thing I'll say, and there's a lot of ways to attack this, but I'll just start with this, Joss. I found Nick's actions at the very end of the game and post-game press conference to be very out of touch with how I think he should have felt, which is largely dissatisfied with his football team and himself for not putting it on the Cleveland Browns and, you know, 5 weeks into the season, just not being a very good football team. And I just thought his approach after the game was very unwise. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And quite honestly, I'm very thankful that Nick apologized for his actions after the game. Or it, you know, I think he may have a different approach to what I'm going to say. You know, but he apologized, realized he was out of line, and the comments weren't the right thing that he should have done. And is, you know, berating the fans is totally unacceptable in this town. This city has given every Eagle player, coach, Philly Flyer, Sixer player, coach undivided attention, you know, throughout their longevity as fans. So this is the greatest fan base in Philadelphia in the country, and you can't belittle the fan base. It's crossing the line to me. So I'm glad Nick apologized and got that out of the way. And I'm kind of a believer in, you know, I read a lot of leadership books like everybody does, and players and coaches do, and everyone defines their own way they want to lead and how they're going to lead. But I've always been a believer you lead by example, and then the example that Nick showed after the game was not the way I would expect, you know, the leader of a football team to act. So I'm glad he apologized. I think you got to lead by example and hope that the players follow your example.
You know, Joss, there's not a ton in my bag today to defend Nick, but I do want to present this one thing, and I think you're a fascinating person to talk to about it, which is being the focal point of tremendous criticism. So the most criticized people in our town's history, sports-wise, are generally some of the better players and longstanding coaches and players that are here for a while. I would put you and Donovan in two of the most criticized players that have ever come through Philly sports. Schmitty was as well, which is insane because he's one of the best ever. What is it like to receive immense criticism at times that you can hear with your own ears while standing on the field and not respond? How difficult is it to hold it in when you're freaking frustrated with the guy screaming at you?
You learn to deal with it. It's the first time you hear boos, and hey, when you play the quarterback position, or if you're under the scrutiny of the fans and the media, you know, not everything's going to be, you know, roses. So you got to learn how to deal with adversity, and I, like every player in that position, had to deal with it. It's like, why don't they like me? It's never personal, but you know, the first time it happens, it bothers you. And I recollect a story. It was probably in the mid '80s. It was one of those games where I was not playing real well, and you know, I'm ready to go back on the field with the offense and 10 other players, and all of a sudden, it was under the Marion Campbell era, and I'm running on the field, and Marion Campbell calls me back, and all of a sudden, 10 other guys run in the field. And so they want to give me a play call. I run back on the field. Now, you're alone running on the field, 10 guys are on the field, and the boos cascade out of Veterans Stadium. And all of a sudden, oh, boy, okay, the boos are directed at me. So it's kind of a litmus test for quarterbacks and other players. I walk in the huddle, and 20 eyeballs are looking at me. 10 players got 2 eyes on me. They want to see how I'm going to deal with it, how I'm going to handle it as a guy that, hey, maybe not be playing well, but the fans are on my butt right now. I walk in the huddle. I look at those guys that are all staring at me. I said, they still love me. And, you know, and it just kind of cracked everyone up. It was like, okay, move on with it. You know, let it go. Move on with it. And I think we drove for a touchdown, by the way. Hmm. But that's how you know, it's how you handle the adversity and how you recover from it. So I think Nick will be fine. I think at this point, after you realize he made a mistake, he's recovered from it.
I'll say this, Joss, about the apology yesterday. I thought it was nice but insufficient.
Well, It's an apology, so I'll take it as that,
yeah,
Joe.
Fair enough. All right, Joe, so we have a Twitter poll question of the day today. I want to talk about the team itself. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% financing on all new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Poll question, Jaws, what's your answer to this? It's a fill-in-the-blank. The Eagles are a blank football team. The choices are good, average, bad. What's the right answer?
Good. It's a good football team. You know, I watched the tape on both sides of the ball last night. I think offensively you can see the dynamic offense that we have when everyone's healthy. You know, Jordan Mailata injury is going to hurt for a couple weeks, depending on how long he's out. But you can see that there is talent on this offensive side of the football. So I'm very impressed with the talent level. And actually, I was very impressed with the defensive side of football. Now, I know it's easy to say, well, Deshaun Watson, you know, Cleveland Browns, bad football team. But I like the way that Vic changed up his game plan. The young players flashed. I'm telling you, this is going to be a good defense. Now, maybe not this year, but it's a year or two away from, I think, possibly being a dominant defense. A lot of young players with great talent. I mean, it was really impressive looking at the tape and seeing guys flying around. The young guys in the secondary making plays. Blitzes. You know, Vic Fangio's not a heavy blitz guy. He'd be very creative, but not a blitz guy. He turned them young boys loose, man. It was fun to watch him, watching the safeties fly in there, making plays in the line of scrimmage, getting sacked. It was all good. It was all good stuff defensively to me. Now we're not there yet, but you can see that the talent is there.
Yeah, there's lots of talent, but Jaws, like when you look at the opening drives of the season, we talked about it earlier in the show. Week one, 3 plays. Week two, 4 plays. Week three, 3 plays. Week four, 3 plays. Week five, 3 plays. All those three and outs for the opening drive with all the preparation that goes into perfecting those opening plays, Jaws. How do you explain that degree of futility offensively with all the talent and all the preparation that should go into that?
That's a great question, John, and you're spot on. You go back to last.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last year at the end of the season, the first quarter doldrums were still in place. They couldn't score in the first quarter. And that's, to me, that is coaching. And particularly after a bye week, when you have a chance to break down your opponent as deep as you can possibly break it down, and you can't move the football against the Cleveland Browns defense. That's a pretty good defense, but still not to score, not to get a first down. It's just bizarre. But I will lay that when coaches have a week to prepare and you formulate your first 12 plays, 15 plays, whatever teams do, they're all they have different number of plays they script in the beginning of a game. But we are not coming up with the proper plays early in the game. It was puzzling to me. The first play of the game, almost get 6 yards. We throw twice after that. Sometimes I just don't know what the thought process is. And obviously not scoring is indicated but that this team can't just get it together on the first quarter of a football game.
And why does it feel like the offense is more basic? You know, the play action, the pre-snap motion, so much has been made of these things. And we talked about coming into this season, hey, we expect we're going to see more pre-snap motion. Hey, we expect we're going to see more play action. Hey, we expect we're going to see more Jalen under center. But it's going the other way, isn't it, Jaws? And
you know,
why?
The numbers bear that out. You know, there's so many companies now that do statistics, and you know, the Eagles are using less motion as we go further into the season. And you know, when Kellen Moore came here, we were all excited about the dynamic offense that we expect to see. The players are there. I just think it's a little dull game planning right now, and it's got to change. And I'll harp on this till the cows come home. I believe you got to run more of this offense under center. I think it's easier to run to have your running game working, your play action game working, and your bootleg game working when the quarterback is under center. Now, I don't know the reason why. I wish someone maybe asked Kellen Moore or Jalen Hurts, you know, why no under center running game? Why no under center play action pass game? Why no under center bootleg game? I just don't know. But I think when you give the defense the optic of potential run or pass and a power running game and a sweep game and trap game, it gives them more to think about. We just haven't done a good job with that through five games.
So, Jaws, here's my theory on that, and I tend to think I'm right, but, you know, Jalen Hurts for the last 10 years has barely been under center, and he's not comfortable with it, and he doesn't want to in year five of the pros after years at Alabama and a year at Oklahoma and 4.5 years in the pros. He just doesn't want to do it much. He's not comfortable. Does that theory vibe with you?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm an example. You know, I played it in Youngstown State. We kind of used a shotgun offense. We called it the side saddle T, where I was about 3 or 4 yards away from center, never a direct snap under center. So all of a sudden, I get selected to play in the Senior Bowl game, and within 5 days, I had to play that game under center. So it's not that difficult.
Are the Giants?
Thank you, Jaws. Thank you. Well, children go out there and take snaps under center.
Oh, John,
Second graders go out there. They're fine doing this.
John, I'm going to ask you a question. What's your theory? Because I don't think Kellen Moore, who had Dak Prescott under center, forgets how to call under center plays. John, what is your theory of why they're not under center?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay,
it does not make sense.
But there's got to be a reason. I mean, we all acknowledge there's some reason.
I mean, I just don't know what else it could be.
I don't
know if it's not Jalen. Like, at this point.
I think that the rationale is that Jalen's not comfortable until he denies that or says, it doesn't bother me either way. That's what we have to take out of it.
He's
not comfortable with it.
Every time I've been around an offensive coordinator and a quarterback, their discussion is always, what do you like here? What do you like here? What do you like here? Plus 15, what do you like here? I'm sure that boils down to also, where do you like to stand? Do you like to be under center? Do you like to be in shotgun? I mean, that is one of these things that the quarterback comfort level is tested on, correct?
There's no question. None of these things are new. Yeah. Jalen's been playing the position for a long time. He can obviously play under center. The tush push is a clear example of that. You know, that's where he's under center 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Have to be, but he can't. You know, I think he can play under center, and I think the illusion of your whole offensive package available to the quarterback and the offense in general dictates a lot of issues to the defense. When you're in the shotgun, you have a limited play selection where, you know, the way teams break down your offense and defense nowadays, they pretty much know everything you're doing. So I think the more confusion you can create for the defense, the better off you are offensively. As I start off this discussion, the talent is here. This is a dynamic offensive team. I think it's going to get better as the season wears on, but there are talented players. You know, we saw what A.J. and Devontae are in that offense, and even Calcaterra comes through with a big game.
Yeah.
You can see that this is a dynamic offense.
Jaws, final thing here. Brandon Graham about to join us in a minute. Let's just do one question on what's ahead for week six. The Giants, is it just the same old Giants team? I mean, should we brace ourselves for a game? Not brace, the wrong word. Should we prepare ourselves for a game in which the Eagles should beat the Giants?
Well, they should beat the Giants. Hey, before I elaborate on that, congratulations to Brandon Graham. He's been an iconic football player in this town and a guy that's been a stand-up guy, and I couldn't be happier for anyone more than Brandon Graham. What a terrific, terrific guy. Played 200 games this league, man. That's pretty impressive. You know, I played 188, and I know how hard it can be to get to 200. It's absolutely just incredible. So congratulations to Brandon Graham. And the Giants are still the same old Giants. They're better, but they're still the same old Giants.
Yep, that's what I thought. Jaws, great stuff, bud. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Jaws.
Thanks, guys.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.